So after Jesus left the town, Simon goes to him and says, everyone is looking for you. You know, after people witnessed who Jesus Christ was and what he was doing, people were flocking to them, and they wanted to follow him where he was headed. And so today is an exciting day for all of us, but especially for Micah and James as they prepare to receive their first communion. And why is this such an important day? Because they want to be united with Jesus Christ in a special way. You know, that's what the Eucharist is about. You know, just as these crowds wanted to be in the presence of Jesus and they were following him wherever he went, you know, the Eucharist is an expression of our desire to be with Jesus Christ. And more important than our desire to be with him is his desire to be with us. You know, that's why he's present in the Eucharist. You know, some people struggle with the faith and the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist because they don't see the basic reality of Christ's desire to be with us and to be close with us. And what happens in Holy Communion is we take Jesus in ourselves and we become one with him and he becomes one with us. You know, when Jesus was doing his public ministry, he had to go from town to town. He couldn't stay very long in each town. The gift that he's given us in the Eucharist is he's able to be present with us all the time. He's present in a different way in the Eucharist, but he's able to be present in every church throughout the world perpetually. And so that's the amazing gift that he gives us in the Eucharist, that we can come into his presence whenever we have an opportunity, and we can be nourished by the Eucharist frequently. You know, it's not just a one-time thing where our Lord just visits us once in our lifetime. You know, we're able to be nourished again and again through the Eucharist. And so that's a gift that we should truly cherish. And so as we reflect upon the gospel, why is it that everyone was looking for Jesus? You know, why did people respond to him in that way? Well, there's two things that he had been doing. The first is he was healing the sick. And the second is he was driving out demons and liberating people who were in bondage. You know, think about how much people spend today on medical care. You know, how many doctors and nurses and hospitals and medical care facilities there are. Imagine if we suddenly didn't need any of that anymore because every disease was healed. That's what people were witnessing with the presence of Jesus Christ. He was healing every illness. And imagine if we could be in a state where we would never commit evil, if we were completely liberated from the power of darkness. You know, right now, evil has a hold on us. Even if we want to live a good life, we still fall into sin. But imagine if it weren't like that. You know, Jesus was liberating people from oppression to evil, to the powers of darkness. And so that's why everyone was looking for Jesus Christ, because he was healing all their infirmities and he was liberating them from evil. And so, you know, that's what we're created for. We're created to be holy and to be morally good and to experience forever the freedom of being children of God. And it's freedom because our hope is to one day be able to live in accord with what God wills, and to never commit sin or evil. And that's what people saw in Jesus Christ. And it's only through Jesus Christ that we can find that destiny, because he is the only path to our Heavenly Father. Each and every one of us needs Jesus Christ today, just as much as those crowds did 2,000 years ago. We need him. And every single person on the face of the earth, whether we realize it or not, is looking for Jesus Christ. Some people recognize that explicitly, and other people don't realize that the desires of their heart that they're following are actually meant to lead to Jesus Christ. But ultimately, every single person in this world is looking for Jesus Christ. When I was teaching high school a few years back, I taught a kid who misbehaved a lot in class. There were multiple discipline problems. You know, it wasn't academics that were the problem. He was a really smart kid. And he never misbehaved in my class because we had a great relationship, and I thought he was pretty funny. But he did misbehave a lot. And the problem was he grew up in a family with an abusive father who was an alcoholic. And the kid had a lot of wounds because of the environment that he was brought up in. And the reality is he didn't need counseling. And he didn't need medication to fix those problems. What he needed was the experience of being loved by his father. And ultimately, what he needed was an encounter with his father in heaven to heal him and show him the love of a father that he unfortunately was not able to experience within his own family unit. And so in the year of school, as he was able to actually discover the Catholic faith in a real and authentic way, and as he was able to enter into a real relationship with Jesus Christ, what happened was Jesus Christ brought him to his father. And this kid was able to experience the true love of his father. And he underwent a profound conversion in that year, because the brokenness and the wounds that he carried within him found healing through his relationship with Christ. And he ended the school year as an entirely different kid than he began. His mother wasn't quite sure what was going on with her child, because she didn't understand. She didn't have a real deep faith. And she was just confused by the whole process. But I think one of the things we can learn from this is whatever wounds we experience and whatever emptiness we might have in our heart and whatever longings there are in our soul, there is an answer to those longings. And that answer is found in Jesus Christ. No one can be happy and fulfilled without Jesus Christ. Because the very purpose of our existence is to be brought into the life of the Trinity. And that happens only through Jesus Christ. And so the challenge for us is to connect the wounds, the brokenness, and the desires that are present in the depths of our souls, to connect those and to recognize that it is Jesus Christ who is the answer to those. So I encourage each one of us in an intentional way to seek Jesus Christ, especially his presence in the Eucharist. Every time you come to Mass, or if you have an opportunity to come to Eucharistic adoration, not simply to seek him in a generic sense, like, oh, yes, I believe that he's God, and I really think I should be in relationship with him. But to spend some time reflecting upon the longings and the desires that are present within your own soul, and to connect those to Jesus Christ. If you're carrying wounds and brokenness within you, to allow him to heal those. You know, our desire for eternity, to live forever, that's fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Our desire for friendship and for deep intimacy with others is fulfilled in a way that's unparalleled in our relationship with Jesus Christ. And so I encourage you to spend some time this week reflecting upon the desires within your own soul. And I guarantee you that those desires are going to point your hearts firmly in one direction, and that is towards Jesus Christ. And we are privileged to be able to receive him in Holy Communion and to experience his power in just as real of a way as he was active in the gospel as we continue with this Mass. And we give thanks to God that James and Micah will be able to receive the Holy Eucharist for the first time and to receive the grace and the power of God. Everybody was looking for Jesus Christ, and so too are we. And how blessed are we to be able to find him in the Holy Eucharist.